Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Now, you're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, we want to consider a subject. I try to get a good title for this, and I believe those of us that are, please confirm if you're a mixed seller that you can hear me clearly. If you can, please do let me know. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, great. Just to be sure we have our sound, you know, on point. Okay, so today I've titled this message Certain Things Don't Come by Desire, but by your decision, or if you like, by your consecration. Certain things will not come by desire, but by your consecration. Okay, so I actually struggled to get that title out. I'm not sure if that properly captures it, but I do hope that I'm able to do some justice to that topic. So you're going to understand what I mean in a bit, but let's quickly look into Psalm 119 and verses 130. Psalm 119 and the verse we are considering is verse 130. It says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Wow, glory to God. Now, let me see if I can get another version for this particular rendition online. I actually saw something that really, really fascinated me, and I just thought I would read that. Now, listen to what the NIV version says. NIV says, "The unfolding of your word gives light." Look at that word, unfolding. "It gives understanding to the simple." Let me read another version. It says, "The teaching of your word." Look at that word, teaching. Now that word unfolding was replaced with teaching. It said, "The teachings of your word gives light." That means it brings illumination. It allows for clarity. Okay, so New Living Translation uses the word "the teaching." Now, this is telling us that about the role and the importance of the teaching of God's word. There are certain things you cannot pray. There are certain things you cannot bind. There are certain things you cannot lose. There are certain things about God, about the way He works. If you are not properly taught, you will be stranded. And we have quite a number of people in our world, especially, in fact, in every part of the world, who just thinks that, they just wake up and they just think that, oh, maybe God will wake up and decide to do things their way. But it doesn't work that way. Look at the Christian Standard Bible. The Christian Standard Bible says, "The revelation of your word brings light." Glory to God. Say, "The revelation of your word." That means, it is possible for a believer to read the word of God, and yet that book is closed to that person. The scripture is saying here that it is not enough for us to be satisfied with quiet time. It is not enough to be satisfied with doing the usual, the routine. You see, the reason why God gives us His word is that the word of God is the leveler. Okay? It is not so much about saying many crafty things or trying to be smart with words. That's why the word of God is in your hands. Everybody can open it, everybody can read it. Now, every time you see God make a statement in the scripture, you can actually study around that statement, and then you begin to get some form of illumination. You begin to get some form of illumination, you get clarity, because God's word reveals the way he thinks. God's word reveals the way he thinks, the way he handles situations. God's word reflects the way he would react in a situation. And if you don't understand this, if you just read the Bible for the sake of, oh, I need to do my quiet time, I need to study, you may not really get the full grasp. And sometimes you may think God is wicked. Please understand me. The reason why God gave us the Bible is because he loves us. And he doesn't want anybody to be at a loss as far, oh, what will God do? Or maybe, oh, this pastor doesn't like you. Or this person doesn't like you. The word of God is the leveler. Whether the pastor preaching it is using simple language, or is trying to be as basic as possible, or maybe he's speaking in terrestrial languages, it really does not matter. What God is telling us is that anything you see him say in his word, you have to take it very seriously. So what does that mean? It means that the entrance of your word, when the word of God enters into a man's life, what God says to us is that part of the evidence you will see is that there will be light, there will be illumination. That illumination is not the one in your parlor. That illumination is the one in your spirit. When God's word comes into a man's life, all of a sudden it's like there's a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can, all of a sudden your spirit lights up. And that's why you'll see some people, they'll say, I found where it was written. The scripture says concerning Jesus that when he got to the temple and was going to read, he found where it was written. You see, there's a place for the written word of God that cannot be discounted by anybody. There are people who are praying and they are fasting, but what they are going through, for instance, is not really a prayer and a fasting matter. Okay, for instance, you are trusting God for, let's say, a child. You've prayed, you've fasted. Let's just imagine any kind of thing you could have tried to do, and it didn't work. Then somebody says to you, why don't you go into kingdom advancement projects? What does kingdom advancement project mean? It means that you begin to use your finance, or maybe you give yourself. Maybe you don't have money, but you give yourself. You make yourself available for activities that deliberately advance the cause of the kingdom, either in the place of praying for lost souls, or maybe winning souls, or giving. Everybody has something to give. Everybody has something to give. When I remember in those days, in our former church, they would say, Father, bless those who have given and those who don't have. Bless them so that they'll be able to give tomorrow. That's a wrong prayer point. Because some of those people who are not giving, they came late to church. They didn't come around before service to clean the chairs. They didn't come around before service to check if the restrooms were okay. But, you know, there's this entitlement mentality that robs many of their blessings with God. That woman, Anna, she came to God and she cried. God didn't say anything. She had been crying for years. God didn't say. The day she said to God, if you give me this boy, I will return him back to you. That year, the next time she came, she had a baby. So there's a place of covenant. There's a place of sacrifice. There are certain things that many of us are doing. And we say, oh, Jesus has paid the price. Jesus paid the price for you to become a citizen. Please listen to me now. Jesus paid the price for you to become a citizen of the kingdom. But if wishes were horses, everyone will write. Why are we not all experiencing the same level of grace? Why are we not all experiencing the same level of anointing? Why is it that if someone anoints you now, you will stop going to church? It's your revelation knowledge. It's what you know. You see, under pressure, you will act. Why? If the scripture says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, why will a believer, for instance, not go to church for like 2 or 3 weeks, and he or she is comfortable? It is the level of your knowledge. We are not fighting. It's just the level of your knowledge. If, for instance, you expect that you can take a break on God, but you don't expect him to take a break on you, so who is fully who? I'm saying that when you read the scriptures, when you see the stories of men, when you see how God related to different people under different circumstances, God put those stories there so that we can learn. It's not for children's church. The stories in the Bible are not for the children's church. There are a lot of lessons we can learn just by reading the scripture. Look at that. Look at that wonderful. You say the entrance of your word gives light. That means if you didn't get light and illumination, you've not found it. The Bible says that when the word of God comes into a man's heart, it will make a simple man, a man on the street, a man that does not know anything, a man that looks as if nobody reckons with him, it gives him understanding. There is something about understanding that separates a man from the crowd. Have you noticed that analyzing Nigeria's problem has never been an issue? Even if you ask a 2-year-old boy, okay, he will tell you the problem of Nigeria. But why are we still here? Why do people behave like hooligans here, then get to the airport in the U.S. and they behave properly? Because they are systems. So it's not rocket science. Before you blame that person that broke your heart, or before you blame your mom, or before you blame your dad, since you've been on your own, what have you done to move your life forward? So I want to read from Daniel chapter 1. And I hope I can finish this. Daniel chapter 1. Let me get that up here. Now, Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 1, these guys have been brought in, you know, as slaves, the Israelites, they have been brought in as slaves under Nebuchadnezzar, to Babylon. So, there was this story about getting a few of them that seemed to be very smart. And please, as I'm talking, I want you to write down some of the major points and then go back to them. Okay? The whole idea started with Nebuchadnezzar, who said to his area boy, he said, look, go and get me some of the smart guys amongst the Israelites, and we are going to use them. Now, let me ask a question. Have you ever bothered to ask, why will a king who captured this nation be asking for the smart people? He needs to understand the way they think. He needs to understand how he can advance his own system by listening to other people. There are people that don't listen to other people. They don't believe they are super smart, and they don't have to listen to anybody. I'm telling you why pastors pray sometimes, and it looks as if prayers are not being answered. That's what I'm telling you. If a king that was not saved, a king who did not have any regard for God, if that king, captured an entire nation and then said to his boys, get me the smart ones amongst them, what could that king be looking for? Okay? Now, look at verse 3. And the king spoke, now this is King James now, speak or spoke. The king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, this is Daniel chapter 1 verse 3, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. You see, he was specific. He wanted people who had royal blood in them. The king wanted people who had royal blood in them. He didn't just want any razzmatazz. He didn't want any half person. He wanted somebody who understood. He wanted a set of people who understood the way of the palace. Are you with me now? He wanted people who are smart. He said, give me people who are of the king's seed and who are princes. Verse 4. Children. Can you see the word children? Can you see the word children? That means as at this time, when they selected Daniel, he was not an adult. Please, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Because except we receive the kingdom like a little child, we will not be great in that kingdom. God will not be able to commit things to us. When I read all these scriptures, I just think, oh, Daniel is like an adult, maybe like 35, 40, and all of that. But look at what this guy said. He said, I want children. I want people I can still train. I want people that I can mend and mold their heart. I don't want a dry bone. I don't want a dry fish. I want something that is fresh. If God was to shop for a leader today, what kind of leader do you think God would shop for? If God was to raise a minister today, a pastor, a minister, a pastor's wife, or somebody that he could trust with wealth, do you think God will go for somebody that is or strongly opinionated, or somebody who has the heart of a child? These are the things I see when I read a scripture like this. It says, children whom there is no blemish, but well favored. They are skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Look at the kind of category the king was looking for. He wasn't even looking for prayer warriors. We were looking for people who knew science. We were looking for people who knew science. And there are people who are going on Facebook and on social media and say, who book help? People are saying things like, you don't need book to be successful. At least you still need to learn how to read and write. He said, choose them that has had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. There is a way to behave in the king's palace. There is a way to behave in the king's palace. Many of us have gotten golden opportunities. We have gotten some very rare opportunities. But we messed it up because we didn't know how to behave in the king's palace. I remember when I was privileged to be in the personal residence of the governor of Sokoto State. And they gave us food. They gave us food, the few of us who were there. They gave us food. But I remember that the book of Proverbs said, put a knife to your throat when going to the king's house. The king will tell you, everything here is for you. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Just take a cup of tea and walk away. There are people who are even asking for bags or takeaways. You go for an end of year party, and you are in the association of those who take takeaways. Put a knife to your throat. People who cannot control their belly can never amount to anything with God. Go and write it down. People who cannot control their belly rarely amount to anything with God. Because working with God many times will involve being hungry. And I mean that without scaring anybody. He said, those that have the ability to stand in the king's palace, that we might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Look at what the king wanted to do. He needed the wisdom in them, but he also understood that there was a language barrier. So he said, get me these guys so that we can teach them the way of the Chaldeans. We can teach them our gods. We can teach them our way of life. That's the way the colonials guys came to Nigeria, and then all of us would start wearing suit. Way back, none of us yet would be wearing a jacket or anything. It's just the way it is. And the king appointed unto them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. He gave them the kind of food he ate, because he wanted to alter their appetite. He wanted to alter their taste buds. He wanted them to begin to desire the things that he was desiring. Listen to me, nothing is free. Now, let me share a few things with you here. Sin will put any man, no matter who you are, into bondage. And I want you to please put that down. Sin will put anybody, if you can hear me now, including myself, we are communicating. Sin will put any man into bondage. Why were the children of Israel in Babylon in the first place. Because they went against the will of God. They disobeyed God. And please, I want you to put this down. Because, you know, sin has become scientific now. Sin is anything you do on Facebook or any of the social media do is not a sin. People don't see it as a sin. But a whole nation went to Nebuchadnezzar, went to Babylon as punishment. That means that if it happened to God's people, it can happen again. So many, we need to look at this thing and many times pray like David, Father, help me. If there's any evil way in me, search me, so that I can be free. And the situation is very dire, but we don't even see half of it. Because if we call for a prayer meeting, you are going to see everywhere few. If you ask God to come listen to the word, the assumption is, I know it. And that's what affects people in the office. The assumption of, I know it. And then they don't put in their best. And then they are angry and saying, the appraisal was very poor. Who should be resuming early and closing late? It should be a believer. Who should be assigned a task and should not be grumbling? It should be a believer. Who should not be going for breakfast or maybe when you go for your lunchtime and not gossiping about your boss or other people in the office? A believer. If you do that and you don't tell anybody you're a Christian, they will suspect you are one. Who should not be bitter? A believer. Who should not be keeping malice for 7 days? A believer. Sin will put anybody, regardless of your status on earth, into bondage. There are a lot of people treating malaria, cancer, this kind of thing, but it's because of unforgiveness. Like I said, the title of this message, there are certain things that don't come by desire. They come by decision. And by decision, I mean consecration. Now, look at the sin of Adam. Let's look at Adam. In Genesis chapter 3, okay, you can read the whole chapter. I could actually pick out a few things there. In Genesis chapter 3, after God said to them, there is one particular tree I don't want you to touch. Then the serpent came, and I need you to understand how Satan works. Satan did not come to Eve and said, where is the tree that God said you should not touch? Okay? He came and said, did God say you should not eat from any of these trees? For Christ's sake, what else are we going to eat? You see, some of those conversations start like innocent conversations. Yeah, you know, I was having a chat with one of my account officers today. And she mentioned somebody. And I said, why don't you help that person? My account officer said, the person didn't ask. I said, wow. And I responded, that's very British. That's very British. It's like the way Britons think. I said, this person is your friend. He said, no, you may want something else. And I said, wow, I give you thumbs up. Some of you are having heartbreak because you suggested things to your friends and they didn't take it and it became fight. It became a quarrel. I loved it. It was a very perfect, you know, I have no need but to know that there are Nigerians who practice it. If you say good morning, they just reply, how do you do? They don't bother to tell you any other thing. Because it is the question you ask that we are going to answer. They asked that woman, did God say you should not eat of any tree? Look at that tricky question. The woman replied, no, you are not there, let me explain. He said we can eat all this one. You see, but there's another one there. He said we should not touch it. You see that one? That one is a dangerous one, no? I have not tasted it, but he said we should not touch it. You see? So, this tendency to shalaye, this tendency of wanting to explain yourself, is what got us to where we are. The serpent didn't ask if there was anything about any tree. He only said, did God say you should not eat from any all the trees in the garden. That was all he said. Then the woman felt like she wanted to prove that she understood the word of the Lord. When God spoke to her, she knew she understood the prophecy. So she wanted to explain to the serpent. And that's where she came into trouble. You don't need to explain anything to anybody. I mean, just tell the people what they need to know. If they will leave you, they will leave. If they will stay, they will stay. Just stop all this trying to shalaye and trying to explain yourself. It doesn't work. That was where Eve got into trouble. Because by the time the serpent started probing, she could not sustain that argument. It's just like many people today who believe that they are born again, they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but they believe they have spiritual husband. So, excuse me, do you really understand what we are talking about here? If you are in Christ and then you have spiritual husband. Am I saying that there are no demonic manipulation? No, that's not what I'm saying. But why should it be you saying you have husband? It shouldn't be you. So you see that whenever revelation, that's why I read Psalm 119, that everywhere that the word of God finds a resting place, the first thing it does is to give illumination. It gives clarity. It gives understanding. It will assess the situation and bring clear understanding on the current state of that matter. That's why I told you that quiet time cannot solve it. All those 5 minutes Bible study will not solve it. I'm telling you how this thing works. You want to build a company, you are not going to build it in a day. Bring 100 naira, collect 60% profit. That one will not take anybody anywhere. If you want to build an organization, you will labor, you will work hard, and while you are working at it, most people will laugh at you, they will not believe in you, until one day, before their very eyes, you will become very great, and then they will begin to say, "Ah, he was my friend." Now, let me talk about the sin of Adam. Adam's sin was not eating the apple. Please understand me. When you read the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, what did God say? He said, because you listen to your wife. That's what God said. Adam's sin was listening to his wife. You see, emotions have a way of clouding your sense of judgment. You can misbehave. You can write, depending on the local government the girl is from, maybe from Calabar or Imo State, you can sign away the only house you built to. You have to be very careful. You understand? And depending on the color of her skin, you can sign away your destiny. You can sign away your... There are people who signed agreements to work for a company. They didn't read the terms until they later reminded them that they will be doing shift in the night. Or that they... I mean, my wife got a job somewhere many years ago. She got an offer. And they said in the terms, you are not allowed to get pregnant for 2 years. In this country, if I mention the company, everybody, including the child they gave birth today, knows that company. People don't read the terms. They just share testimony and say, God did it. Adam's sin was listening to his wife. Is listening to your wife wrong? No. Is listening to your husband wrong? No. The sin there is that you realized your wife was doing the wrong thing. And you thought by supporting her, you will exonerate your wife. Now, because of your political association now, you are both going to be in trouble. Go and read the book of Genesis chapter 3. God didn't even talk about the whatever it is that Adam ate. He said, you listen to your wife. You cannot say, hey, it was the serpent. God said, the moment you decide to do it, you take responsibility. And it's good we understand this thing so that this remaining half of the year, we can all begin to plan our lives and begin to move in a direction where anytime God's favor comes, it will be clear it is God's favor. Anytime God's mercy comes, it will be clear it is God's mercy. There are so many things to pray about in this country that have no business with prayer. And look at the implication. Because that man decided to listen to his wife, God didn't curse Adam the way he cursed Eve. God's curse over Adam's life affected his productivity. Oh my God. The curse God gave to a man, and that's why you notice that when a man is struggling, there's a way it affects him directly. When a man is struggling and is not getting a headway, you can see it. There's a way you see it. You know that, no. This is a curse. When a man is qualified and things are not, you can look at what God said. He said, you will labor, you will sweat, you to bring forth the ground, you will plant, but the ground will bring forth thorns and thistles. That's what God says. The curse upon Adam's life affected his productivity. It affected his business. It brought sweat and pain. You pursue a business deal, and at the last minute it fails. Instead, you plant seeds, good seeds. At the end of the day, you reap thorns and thistles. Listen to me. This issue of Adam and his wife and the two and Daniel and his three friends, they are very similar. Now, in verse 3 and verse 4 of Daniel chapter 1, look at the kind of people that the king requested for. Now, if you are on Facebook, please go to my page and share this video, because a lot of people need to see it. A lot of people just spend time on Facebook and all this. They need to hear the word of God. The joy of the Lord can never be replaced by comedy skits. I wish somebody would say I hear that one. See, the joy of the Lord, and some of you now you understand, before you sleep, you go and check for the latest skits. And I watch skits. Those who know me know I'm a comedian. The joy of the Lord, the devil is trying to replace it with skits, making people laugh. So that one day they will ask you, what are you, don't you even laugh more at our jokes than you are joyful in the presence of the Lord? The devil will ask you. As the Lord said, you should not eat. What are you getting there? Why are you going to church? Stay at home and watch some of our dear friends. And you see them and you laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh till your spiritual life and battery just drain. Satan has a high taste when it comes to choosing men. Look at the kind of people he requested for. He wanted royal blood. He wanted princes. He wanted people who knew how to behave in the palace. To behave in the palace, you must have been in the palace before. Yeah? Now, look at what Satan did next. And this is divine, satanic strategy. The first thing Satan did was to select them, identify them. And he does this through different, means and different strategies. He selected them. Look at the kind of people he chose. People that were skillful. People that were smart. People that were not following women. He chose very nice guys. And then he had them castrated. Then he now brought, he said, these guys, I like them. They are very smooth. They are very nice. They will be able to communicate with their own people and sell our vision to them. They wanted to wipe out the nation of Israel completely. So don't, if you are asking, God, I don't know why I'm always having these challenges. I don't know why I'm always having these issues. Let me tell you, the devil likes people with taste. The reason why you are going through that challenge in your life is because they've seen that your destiny is glorious. Come on, say amen. Your destiny is glorious. Your destiny is beautiful. And that's why you are going through all your issues. If there was nothing in you, nobody will come after you. There was this particular comedy, not comedy, like a film, a Yoruba film, a Nigerian film, where they went to kidnap somebody. They wanted to use him as for charms or for men, for some kind of wealth exchange program. I don't even know how to say it now. So they wanted to take his destiny and give to another man. And after the guy got there, the guy was not even born again. But when the father or the abbess came and started invoking the gods, the gods replied and said, there is nothing left in this destiny. If you use this guy, it will not work. Return him. Just return this guy. There's nothing in his destiny. This one will never be great. Go and look for somebody that is working in a company. Somebody that his destiny is blossoming. Somebody that is very fine. Somebody that can have 20 children. Go and look for that one. Someone that is yellow. Those are that their destiny is very bright. So if you are there and you are wondering why are some of these times, it is because there is something about your destiny that angels are attracted to, that God is attracted to, and even Satan is attracted to. So don't be mad. Your destiny is bright. Say amen.
Amen.
So look at the next strategy Satan put across their way. That man, Ashpenaz, what's his name? He put these children of Israel, those four boys, he put them in the midst of other people who are not like them. So let's be eating, let's be, what country are you from? I'm from Iran. What country are you from? I'm from the UK. What country are you from? Oh, you came for this training. Oh, wow, from Africa. Wow, praise God. Oh, I'm from Saudi Arabia. Oh, I'm from Iraq. Oh, I'm from... He put them around people who didn't share their consecration so that he can dilute their conviction. I'm telling you, I've worked in offices where I was the only person that wasn't taking a call. And they used to laugh at me. You see, it didn't make sense. Like, I'm feeling sorry for you, but they were actually laughing at me that as big as you are, you don't take a call. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that some, and God didn't come down to strike them. God allowed them to laugh. You see? So these are serious issues, though. And I really have to, you don't have to feel bad. But I'm telling you, Satan's strategy. He will suddenly bring somebody into your spirit that doesn't share your conviction, and the person is just there, and the person begins to unconsciously dilute your conviction, and you just notice that you are not so firm about some of the things you believe. Oh, well, God knows who's going to make it to heaven. God knows who's doing the right thing. God knows, I know, nobody can judge. Bible says, judge no man, you know. When you start hearing all those things, go and check their company. But you see, there was something in spite of everything that was going on. The Bible says in verse 8 that Daniel proposed his act. There are certain things that don't happen simply because we desire them. They happen because we make a decision. Daniel was under pressure. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't get the impression that Daniel was a champion. Daniel was under pressure. If Daniel did what they wanted, nobody would know. Nobody would know. The book of Daniel won't be written, and we won't know what we missed. The Bible says Daniel proposed himself. That means he determined, because there was pressure from the outside. There was pressure from the outside. So he had to determine. He said, I will not stain myself. I will not eat of this king's meat. This food has been offered to idols. This food is contaminated. This knowledge that is being given to me is not from God. It's not from the Holy One. It's not from the Holy One. Daniel proposed in his heart. Some things don't just happen. If I lay hands on you now, doesn't change anything. Daniel didn't get it by laying of hands. This is a clear-cut strategy anybody can employ and get the same result. Listen to me. The most powerful foundation for greatness, they are usually laid in the heart. The foundations for greatness, we lay those foundations in the heart. It's not where people will see. It is not on stage. The stage only reveals who has been doing his work in the secret. The stage is not what brings a man into greatness. It only announces it. The most powerful foundations for greatness are laid in the heart. And those foundations are laid by decisions. Those foundations are laid by decision. Listen to me. You can just look around you and see what you will see this thing practically. I mean, like the difference between two men of God, decisions. One doesn't believe in fasting. In fact, one preaches against it, one decides to fast. The level in the anointing is different. I believe in grace. I'm a preacher of grace. But Jesus said, without fasting and prayer, there are some things that will not answer. In other words, there is a law of sacrifice that the spirit realm recognizes. There is a law of covenant and sacrifice. If you are somebody that does what you just do what you like in the name of it by faith, there are certain things about God you will never come into. And I'm being very honest, and I'm saying this with love. Even when you are married, you will sacrifice for your husband. Your husband will sacrifice for you. That when you see people that stay together, it's because they chose to sacrifice for each other. They make sacrifices. If you don't like sacrifices, don't worry. We'll see the result. Now, let me tell you about three or four things about your decisions. Number one, your decision will protect you. When you make a decision, for instance, I am not going to be in any lady's house up to 7 p.m. That decision protects you. Come on now. Things about your decisions. Number one, your decision will protect you. There are certain things like can't happen because you already told yourself anything 10 p.m. I should be in my house. Anything, I don't chat after so time. I don't talk to Kelvin. I don't talk to Michael. I don't talk to Robert. I don't talk to Benga. I don't talk to Solomon. I don't talk to Gotome. I don't talk to Kenny. No matter who you are, if you are on the opposite sex, I'm asleep. Talk to my PA. I'm not around. Because you have to know yourself. You know that when it's late at night, you know, your mind is a bit fuzzy. So you stay away. It's not Bible, it's just common sense. Your decision will protect you. Daniel knew he was in a land that was compromised already. If he did not make that decision that day, the Bible says he proposed in his heart, he would have exposed himself ultimately. Eventually, throughout his time in Babylon, he kept having to make fresh decisions. There was a time they said nobody should pray. He went back and prayed. It was a decision he had to make. People like that kind of story, but they don't think that, oh, maybe a time will come, God will require me to do something, and it may not be what everybody is, you know, interested in. Your decision will protect you. Your decision will protect your calling. Come on now. If you have a ministry, your decision will protect it. I mean, I've seen men of God who are contemporaries. I've seen men of God. Even my friends, I've seen people all across. And I saw the difference in the anointing upon each and everyone's life from the last time when everybody was, you know, at a seemingly equal level. Decision made a difference. You can graduate with, you know, first class accounting, first class economics. Somebody decides to go for ICANN. Somebody decides to go for MBA finance. Somebody decides to keep, you know, specializing in a particular field. That decision, 10 years from now, will separate everybody. I'm telling you. That decision will separate everybody. Your decision will protect you. Number two, your decision will protect your calling. Number three, your decision protects your anointing. For instance, if there's a way you structure your life that, okay, this is how I want to pray. This is when I pray. This is when I don't pick calls. These are the times I use in meditating on the word of God. So, anything that comes within that space is not going to work. Oh, can we hang out? Can we go out and have lunch? Sorry, I don't do lunch on Saturdays. Because Friday night, I mean, I've been busy all week. I pray Friday night, maybe a few hours into Saturday morning. If that's your decision, it protects your anointing. People don't stay anointed for nothing. Then go and ask everybody who is fresh in the anointing. There is something they are doing. When you see people that organizations are always looking for, while you are watching Netflix and trying to sell the whole world, they are developing themselves. Don't put yourself in a market space where everybody can trade. Look for a difficult area. Look for something that is unique. Something that when you put your effort there, you'll be distinct. Number four, your decision, now I said three things. Number one, your decision will protect you. Your decision will protect your calling. Your decision will protect your anointing. Number four, your decision will separate you. It will separate you from everybody. It will separate you. I mean, even when things are not working, you already know you're on a clear path. Your decision will separate you. It will separate you from your company. Yeah, we are friends, we are best friends. I mean, they are still in the village and they are there saying you are their friend. You have moved on, you moved to Lagos, you've even had to travel out for a training, you've done so many things, personal development. I mean, like last year we had COVID, there are people that didn't develop themselves, even when there was Coursera and whatever, they didn't develop. And you are a professional, you work in a company, you didn't do it, so why do you think you should be considered for anything special? To get third class, very easy. You don't even need to do so much. To get pass, don't even go to class. To get 2-2, you will read small. To get 2-1, you will read well. Not everybody is in first class category. Your decision is what will separate you to be distinctive in life, to be a child of distinction. Number five, decision will clarify where your commitment lies. Your decision will clarify where your commitment lies. I love you, but I can't marry you. I mean, personally, please, before you fall in love, you need to find out what exactly makes this particular person tick. It's very important. Before you start saying, oh, Pastor, I prayed, I have a witness in my heart that he is the one. You know, I actually had two dreams. Please, come out of that dream and hear what I want to say now. Find out what makes that particular person tick. It's very important. For instance, if I'm relating with you, no matter how attractive you are, you may even be the last Miss World that just resigned or retired. If you are not intellectually sound, I love you, but I can't marry you. You know, love is a love. I love. I may not be able to control who I love, but who I marry is a deliberate decision. So people have different things. Some people don't even care about beauty. Some people care about it. Find out, so that the brother won't be looking for a second wife tomorrow, and vice versa too. Because your decision will always clarify where your commitment is. What are your values? What are the things that are important to you? Listen to me. In verse 17 of Daniel chapter 1, the Bible said, because they separated themselves, God honored their faith. Verse 17. God blessed them with what? With knowledge. God blessed them with four things. Number one, God blessed them with knowledge. The ability to understand anything they give themselves to. God blessed them with skills. Skills in all learning. Now, can you imagine somebody that goes to medical school, becomes a good doctor, then he goes to engineering, he does well there, he goes to education, he becomes a good teacher. Like, you are wondering, how can somebody be good in law, be good in engineering? The Bible said in every skill of learning, they were outstanding. Come on. There's a grace for outstanding. There's a grace to be outstanding. It starts with your decision. It starts with your decision. My being a Christian today is a decision. It's not boredom. It's a decision. Nobody can make me change that one. Even if I stop praying for the next 1 month, I know that this one is a decision. What is your decision? Praise God. Please go to my Facebook page and share this thing. I beg. Let's help a lot of people. Number one, God bless them with knowledge. Have you ever met somebody that was very smart and knew a lot of things? Come on. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful mind. Don't just be beautiful because you wear glasses and you have these trimmed beards and you look nice. Everybody says, oh, that's a fine boy. If that's the only good thing about you, I'm sorry, man. I can't marry you. You have to be skillful. God bless them with skill. Number three, God bless them with wisdom. The correct application of knowledge. God bless them with wisdom. God bless them with wisdom. God bless them with wisdom. Glory to God. There's something that's called the spirit of wisdom. God bless them with wisdom. And number four, understanding in visions and dreams. Glory to God. There are people that don't even understand their own dreams. If you don't understand your dreams and you leave the interpretation to another person that just finished taking a bottle of Gouda or went on a karaoke or whatever over the weekend, so what's the guarantee that you are not going to get a wrong answer? You see, there are many of us that we've had dreams, we've had visions, we've had certain encounters with God, and it seems that we are not really, 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 really getting a handle over what God is saying to us. Listen to me. There is a spirit that causes men to gain understanding. Hakatubaya. To gain understanding in dreams and visions. There is a spirit of interpretation for dreams and visions. But Daniel got it by separating himself, by consecrating himself. Daniel got it by making a decision. Glory to God. Listen to me as I round up. Your decision will announce you before God. when God sees a serious person, he knows. Your decision will announce you before God. It will also announce you before man. Glory to God. And I tell you, for as many of you that are paying your price, those of you who are paying your price, you are studying, you are burning the midnight oil, you want to do well in what God has put in your hands, your day will come. In the name of Jesus, your day will come. Oh my God, your day will come. If you are called to be a public speaker, you are a trainer, whatever, maybe you train people, you develop people, keep burning the midnight oil. Make a decision. Don't just do it emotionally. Make a decision to be the best. Come on. If they talk about people who are smart, who can speak well, let your name be there. If they are speaking about people who are highly anointed, let your name be there. If they are speaking about people who can hold their own, let your name be there. If they are speaking about people who don't depend on others to get by, let your name be there. Make a decision. You don't know how God will honor that decision. When Daniel decided with his friends that they were going to separate themselves, they didn't know what would happen. But look at what God gave them. These four things were the things that made them prime ministers and vice presidents. Can you imagine that something as small or little as understanding dreams and vision can make a man vice president in a strange land? That was the same thing that happened to Joseph. I want you to go back and listen to this message. You can download it on Facebook and on Mixlr. I want you to download and listen again. Don't take it like a rebuke. It's not a rebuke. We want to help ourselves this year. There are certain things that prayer will not fix. I want you to go back and begin to reflect on your decision. There are certain things that don't happen simply because we desire them. It's not everything that God responds to. It's not like spiritual gifts. Gifts you desire them, you can covet them. But there are certain dimensions of the spirit, like wisdom, knowledge, those things that make a man separate from the crowd. They don't come by desire alone. They come by what? A decision. And by decision, I mean a consecration. Let us add a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. And we thank you for this word. I ask that this word will breathe and will grow in the hearts of everyone, including the speaker. In the name of Jesus Christ, that everyone will be blessed. And this will lead to a turnaround, a change of story, helping us to reevaluate our value systems and the things that we are doing currently. That, Lord, you will help us to separate the wheat from the chaff. And you will give us grace to begin to advance like never before. I pray for everyone that sound my voice, wherever you are listening from, that the hand of God will come upon you and will begin to show you the areas you need to adjust. In the name of Jesus Christ, that this word will not fall to the ground until it has produced 30, 60, and 100. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Now, thank you for that.